This sermon was preached by Pastor Naphtali Ogalo of Grace Baptist Church, Eldoret, Kenya, for the Lord's Day, 14th November 2021, during the COVID-19 pandemic restrictions. We welcome you to join with us for worship at Grace Baptist Church, Eldoret. We are located within West Indies Estate on Cargo Street, behind Cogo Flats, Eldoret Town. You may be familiar with the saying, an empty debe, empty tin, makes a lot of noise. Now, that saying actually holds true even in religion. Even in religion. You will understand this as we continue, but I must ask this question. Is your life full of religious activities but have no fruit to show for it? I believe so many people fall in this category. So many people. A life so busy, full of religious activities, but no fruit to show for it. Please turn with me to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21, we continue to journey through the Gospel of Matthew. We are following this apostle as he leads us, as he shows us the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who was given the name Jesus so that he would save his people from their sin. And today, I want us to look at verses 12 to 19. Verses 12 to 19, this is the commonly called the cleansing of the temple and the cursing of the fig tree. And so I want to read these two passages before we look at it. I read from verse 12, Matthew 12, 21, from verse 12 to verse 19. And Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who sold and bought in the temple. And he threw out over the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. He said to them, "It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers." And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. That is, they were angry. They were wrathful. And they said to him, "Do you hear what these are saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Well, yes. Have you never heard? Have you never read? Out of the mouth of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise." And leaving them, he went out of the city to Bethany and lodged there. Verse 18, in the morning, as he was returning to the city, he became hungry. And seeing a fig tree by the wayside, he went to it and found nothing on it, but only leaves. And he said to it, May no fruit ever come from you again. And the fig tree withered at once. Well, that's the reading of God's word. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you are the one who prepared the Lord Jesus for the great work of salvation, the great work of showing mercy to the blind, to the lame, to the needy, indeed of being the redeemer of sinners. And this moment, Lord, we want to look at your word to understand, O Lord, that indeed where expectation are, if we do not produce, then judgment awaits us. And so, Lord, help us that your word will prove profitable as it exposes us, as it opens us. Indeed, may we be able to say, those who are truly your people, yes, it is by grace that I'm able and I'm bearing fruit. Those who do not know you as Savior, this is opportunity for them to turn, to repent, and to seek the Savior of sinners, the one who changes those who are spiritually barren to those who are fruitful. Hear and be gracious, for this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, last Lord's Day, we saw that the Lord Jesus entered into Jerusalem, that great city. He entered into Jerusalem in a triumphant, victorious way. And not in a white horse charging like going to war, no, but on a donkey. A sign of humility. Indeed, a sign of weakness. But he did that and demonstrated that he is in control. He had to be reckoned with from that moment. And all who went ahead of him and followed him, they sang Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Well, we learned that when he entered the city, then he went in and inspected the temple. And then left the city and went for the rest that evening, to rest in Bethany at his friend's place. Now, this morning, I want us to see then what happened. He comes the following day, and this is indeed what happens from verse 12 as he returns to the city. But we are looking actually what happened on that day and the following day. And so we are seeing two very significant events. The Lord Jesus performed two prophetic or symbolic acts. But these two, the cleansing of the temple and the cursing of the fig tree, have one particular message for us this morning. I do not want you to miss it. You see, the message is this, and it's in a question form. I had hinted to it earlier. The message is this: is your life an empty profession? Is your life an empty profession? You see, the Lord Jesus is honestly in this passage predicting the downfall of a religious, busy, but fruitless nation of Israel. And in its place, he is set to inaugurate, he is set to set up an everlasting kingdom, a kingdom that will genuinely produce fruit. A fruit-producing kingdom. And that, of course, is the church. And he was about to do that by the purchase of his own blood, that is, his own death. And so, these two events, I want us to look at them briefly, bearing in mind that they both contain or point us to one specific message. The first one: are you like the cursed temple? Are you like the cursed temple? And that we read in verses 12 to 17. Here we see the Lord Jesus this morning. He came back into the city. Now, this time round, he didn't come on a donkey. No, he didn't need to. And where he was coming from, Bethany, wasn't so far. No. The initial coming on a donkey was to demonstrate that he is the king. And now he comes to further demonstrate. Doesn't need to come on a donkey now, no. But he comes to further demonstrate that he is in charge. And when he entered the city, he went straight into the temple, that place of worship. Now the temple was that place of worship divided in specific, designated portions. There was the Holy of Holies. Only one person could go there, the high priest, once in a year, the Day of Atonement. And then there was the holy place. And then there was the portion or the court of the Gentiles. Oh, excuse me, of the Jews. And then the court of the women. The final court, the final department, much further away from the Holy of Holies, was the department or the court of the Gentiles. So it was divided like that. And we are told the Lord Jesus entered into the temple. And then what did he do as he entered the temple? Among the things that he did, we are told in verse 12, Jesus entering the temple began to drive out all who sold and bought in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. Now, why are all these things happening in the temple to cause Jesus to drive them out? Why? Because the temple, we are told, and he indeed tells us, is a place of prayer. Verse 13. So why are these people carrying out this business, this transaction? Well, you see, it was the Passover time. It was the time, that one time in the year, when people would come and flock Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem. And these people would come from far and near, as far as Egypt in Africa. And when we read the book of Acts, chapter 1, indeed chapter 2, we find people are coming from all over the place, the then known world. People would come and flock Jerusalem so that they could celebrate and offer sacrifice. Of course, they have come to worship. So, these people, these worshippers who come from all over the place, need to change their money, their currency, for that which will be acceptable in the temple. In the temple, one could not use the Roman coin or the Roman money. One needed what we would call the temple money. And so there was the need for changing money. But not only that, there was the need also for people to buy, to purchase animal, whatever animals there were that would be adequate, that would be necessary for the sacrifices, including the doves. We are told that the parents of the Lord Jesus were poor, and when they went to the temple, they needed to present a sacrifice, a dove. And so people needed not only money, but the proper kind of animals for sacrifice at the temple. And so it was a busy time. Now, it needs to be understood. It was busy, but these activities should not have taken place within the temple. This exchanging of money, this buying and selling of animals. The marketplace wasn't too far away, no. But as they supposedly for convenience, they bring it much closer. Now, we know something of what this is. During graduations at any college or any school, any university, we know what that means because we see vendors, those who come with various garlands, flowers, stickers, people who want to take instant photos, food stuff. Now, the markets may not be far, the shops may not be too far away, but these people want to capture quick money, and so they bring their business as close as they can to the place of graduation, in this case now to the place of worship, even though the marketplace was not too far away. Now, they were using the temple wrongly. You see, because by doing that, they had occupied the area that the Gentiles were supposed to occupy for their worship. And that was a problem. Well, there are at least two things that made what they were doing wrong. One, they were hindering these Gentiles from using it for prayer. In fact, in Mark chapter 11 verse 14, where after reading that it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, Mark adds a very important phrase. He says, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, plural. And when the Bible uses the word nations, it refers not to Israel necessarily specifically, but to the Gentile world. And so this was a place of prayer for all nations. And now these people, with their business of changing money and buying and selling animals, they hinder the nations from worshiping God. And number two, they were using this as a shortcut to their own end, to be rich quickly. Hence, its holiness was abused. And so, the action of the Lord Jesus Christ honestly expressed great anger at the wicked violation of God-given purpose for the temple. He is indeed the Lord of the temple, and this needed to be honored. You see, the temple was a place of prayer, as we have said. And Luke chapter 18 verse 10 tells us the story of the Pharisee and the tax collector, that they went to the temple to pray. But now these people are denying its use and turning it as to in a place, making it a place of gain. The Lord Jesus then drove them out single-handedly. Now, do you see his great power? Do you see that? Honestly, no mere man could do that. And no one could resist him. Here, my friends, was a temple full of religious activities, but empty of true religion. There was no fruit, or no real fruit, that was being seen. And Jesus, therefore, must cleanse it and set it up for real and genuine worship at the cost of his own blood, the cost of his own life. Now, the scribes, we are told in our passage, because when he entered, the Lord Jesus entered and cleared these people off for messing up this house. And then his ministry continued, where the blind and the lame were brought to him, and he healed them. And then we are told also that those who were in the temple, including the children, was singing and shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Ah, friends, these caused the chief priests and the scribes to really get mad. They became so unhappy. And we are told, Mark actually tells us, Mark chapter 11, verse 18, that from that moment, they were looking for a way to destroy him, looking for opportunity to destroy him. Surely, this has something to teach us. Let me bring two areas of application. And I want to plead with those who are not saved. I plead with you. Why continue with your external religion and remain empty of true saving experience? Why? Now, with all due respect, I know that you have external religion. The very fact that you have interest in listening to this sermon, and I trust the past sermons that I have shared with you, you have interest in religion, and I thank God for that. But I ask, why continue? Why remain in your external religion? Why? I have appreciated those who have sent a note to me saying, thank you. Sincerely, I appreciate that. But no, unless there is saving experience, all that you have is external religion. So why remain there? And therefore I urge you, come now to Christ to cleanse you by his blood and fit you for his holy worship and service. That is my plea with you. But there are those of you who would say, I love the Lord. The Lord has saved me, and I praise God for that. But I ask, therefore, I ask you, are you bearing any fruit? Are you bearing any fruit? Now that is a serious question, an urgent question. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against such things there is no law. Are these things true in your life? Are they true in your life, showing that there is the Holy Spirit? I know there is much talked about today as love, but is it the love that has been brought by the Holy Spirit? I ask you, are you bearing fruit? You see, if Christ came today, will he find fruit in you? And the fruit we are talking about here, therefore, is not how many people have you persuaded to be saved. Now, it's not wrong to do that. It is good to witness. But it is not how many people you have led to the Lord. It is the Lord who saves. And praise be to God, if through your witnessing someone has come to faith. But the question is, does your life reveal the work of the Holy Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience. And these things are best revealed in the face of challenges. Think about that. Well, if that's not the case, then you need to repent. You need to repent and seek things that last. Seek that genuine relationship with Christ and seek it now if you claim to be a believer. But then let me say this by way of warning to all, because I am preaching to religious people, but now I send out this warning to all. You see, in many churches today, nowadays, and it has been there for a while, but it's increasing. In many churches today, there is a large portion of time set aside for selling and buying items during the worship service. People come from their homes with chickens and bunch of bananas and eggs and different things, fruits, vegetables. And their aim, and therefore what has been allowed in these places of worship, is that there is a time set apart when these things then are huggled, and the price is some kind of a begin till finally something is reached. The highest bidder gets them, whatever. Now, people love to do that, because at the end they may go home with something they really wanted. But we need to stop and think, what are we doing? You know what? These actions divert the worshipper's concentration from the Lord. They do. As people see whatever is, whether it's a chicken or a tray of eggs or a bunch of bananas, people concentrate on how much, how low can I buy it, or how high, but how much can I pay, can I raise so that they become mine and I either go with them home or distribute to people to eat. Oh, friends, these activities divert the worshipper's concentration from the Lord. Now, granted, if someone brought even but one egg to the pastor and said, "Pastor, I wanted to bless you, or I wanted to provide something for you because of your service to us, but I didn't have money. Pastor, this is what I had. Please have it." There's nothing wrong with it. But to take a portion of preaching or worship time to exchange items for money, I say no. You tell me what makes what people do today different from what people did then. They wanted to exchange what they had so that they have money which they could use in worship. And the Lord Jesus said, no. You know what? Exchange those things at home or in the marketplace, but not in the church. It is dangerous and needs to be avoided. And then, let me say this. Are you now in the second place? In the first place, I had asked the question, are you like the cleansed temple? Are you like the cleansed temple? But now in the second place, are you like the cursed fig tree? Cursed fig tree. Verses 18 and 19. Where we read, we're back to Matthew chapter 21, verses 18 and 19. In the morning, verse 18, as he was returning to the city, he became hungry. Jesus is here seen as a real human. The wonder of our salvation is that our Savior is both true man and a true God. And oh, friends, his humanity is here displayed. He was hungry and so needed food. He was thirsty and so needed water. He was tired and so he needed rest. Yes, he became sleepy and so slept one time in the boat. to a point when where the disciples came and woke him up and said, "Don't you care that we perish?" He was truly a human being. So we must ask, what benefit is his humanity to us? So what that he was human? It is this, and it is important. He understands and knows our frames. He knows our frames. Hebrews chapter 4, a great passage. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. This is what we read. Hebrews 4, 15 and 16. "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who is in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." Let us go to him. As man, he came to us. And indeed, he, because he's man, he became poor for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. And he died for us. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8. Great passages, by the way. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8. "And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." What an assurance. What a privilege we have to have our Savior as true man. And so we go on and we see in verse 19, "And seeing fig tree by the wayside, he said to he went to it," and Mark adds, "he went to check for fruit from it to eat, and found nothing on it but only leaves." In other words, this fig tree promised much but provided nothing. It wasn't in a situation where it was half dying, struggling for its life. No, it had leaves on it. In other words, it had external signs appearing as though all is well. But sadly, there was no reality. As a result, verse 19b, Jesus' response to the fruitless tree is very strange. He makes a prohibition to this tree. And he says, "May no fruit ever come from you again." Now, is Jesus just out punishing the fig tree? No. Here we have a lesson. We have a lesson deeper than the action we are seeing. The Lord Jesus is bringing a teaching, a lesson. He, that is Jesus, he is giving what we would call a prophetic warning of God's judgment against a religious but unfaithful Israel. The Lord does not get satisfied with external appearance. Please let us learn that. External appearance, no, we will not please him. We will not please him. You must have real fruit, real life. Let me ask you, Are you like the cursed fig tree? Are you like the cursed fig tree? Are you appearing outwardly to be full of leaves, to be green, to be busy? And as I began this sermon, I did mention many are active religiously. But, my friend, many, it must be feared, are like the cursed fig tree. Well, I have presented to you your only hope, honestly, the man, Christ Jesus, who, of course, in few days will set up his new kingdom where righteousness dwells. And members of that kingdom are fruit producers, fruit bearing. Are you already one of them? Are you? Now, if not, why not? Why not be one of the fruit producers? Do you know what? It is his great love that he had for sinners that was head leading him back to the city of Jerusalem, that drove him to the temple and cleared those who were robbing the temple of its significance. It is because of his love for sinners. Eventually he died and rose again for those sinners. I ask you, what are you doing with this Jesus? What are you doing with him? Would you not consider him? Consider Jesus. Or would you remain like this cursed fig tree? Would you remain like the temple that needed to be cleansed? The Lord Jesus is the one who takes the curse away and cleanses sinners by his shed blood. You look to him and you will be forgiven. You will be his child. You will be one of those in his kingdom who bears fruit unto holiness. Let us pray. Lord God, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for showing us from these two events, we are getting this very serious message. We must not be busy religious people when our hearts are not right. Help us to have true religion. I pray for everyone who has heard my message today. This is your word, that they would seek Jesus, that he would not pass them by. Lord, hear and be gracious. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.